note, these are not on tonight's agenda. You should be reassured that we will be appointing coaches before the start of the spring season, which I believe is March 7th. When we are ready to make those appointments, you will be notified with ample time for that public meeting, time and place. Thank you. Item number four. Approval of minutes of the regular business meeting of January 11, 2016, and work session meeting of January 25, 2016. Do I have a motion? Mrs. Delerba, seconded. Mr. Bensavenga, all in favor? Motion carries. Item number five. Approval of treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for December 2015. Do I have a motion? Ms. Kane, seconded by Mr. Motalka. All those in favor? Motion carries. Brings us to agenda item number six, the superintendent's report.
Good evening. Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. We begin tonight's presentation with some student staff recognitions. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. D'Amico, our assistant superintendent, for curriculum instruction.
Thank you, Mrs. Rossi. We're going to start with student recognition. Tegan Castelluccio is a student here at the Babylon Junior Senior High School. And Tegan's being recognized tonight for her hard work as a student. And also, she recently she auditioned and was accepted as an actress in a show called The Super D Show. And this is a very unique show put on by and for students that really celebrates the diversity of students and the different ways that students learn. I was lucky enough to see one of the skits. It's a skit show that I think through humor and compassion looks to bridge students and their differences and their diversity. I was lucky enough to see one of the skits, and to me this is gonna age me. It reminded me of Zoom. Anybody remember Zoom? It's a wonderful show. It's in the final stages of production. The name of it is Super D Show. I've shared it with the Board of Education. If any of you out there would like to Google it, it will take you to their site, and you'll be able to follow it along in its final production stages. So without further ado, I'd like to call Tegan up.
Shortly to all households. It's filled with academic, artistic, and athletic accomplishments of our terrific student body, as well as very informative updates pertaining to high-level instructional initiatives happening around our district. We have a, and also a wonderful transportation consultant who's working for the district right now at our regularly scheduled board business meeting on March 7th. Mr. John Robertson will be presenting his findings to the public regarding improved ridership and next steps as we constantly try to strive for better, I shouldn't say better, but an effective routing system as we move forward. So he will present under the superintendent's report on March 7th. Some other accolades around the district. Our first Lego League is made up of a group of sixth grade students at Babylon Memorial Grade School who joins the first Lego robotics team this year. They competed in their first official Long Island qualifier, which was held at the Central Islip High School recently. You will be hearing about some of their work tonight in a terrific presentation that Mr. D'Amico and our staff members and the kids will be presenting. So I want to thank all of these wonderful people who are here with us tonight who you'll be hearing shortly from. Our students and particularly their teachers, Mrs. Stork and Mrs. Brown, have put in many, many long hours preparing for the competition, which included a robotics demonstration as well as a group presentation focusing on their work. So congratulations to all. We also have a terrific spring musical coming up. It's one of the most beloved musicals of all time called Into the Woods. We hope that you can join us on Friday, March 4th at 7 p.m., Saturday, March 5th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, March 6th at 2 p.m. Please come out and support our artistic students. Tickets are $12 for adults, $5 for students and senior citizens, so hope to see you there. As a reminder, we do have spring kindergarten registration, which occurs on March 16th and March 23rd. The school district calendar actually has those details as to times for registration specifically in there. So if you know anybody who has an incoming kindergarten student for September, please remind them that registration is in March. Sometimes if you're not yet in our school system, you might not be aware of these dates. So if you know of anybody, please help us spread the word. I also want to congratulate the varsity cheer team. They won the first ever Section 11 Suffolk County Championship this past weekend. The team will go on to represent Babylon at the inaugural state championships for cheer in Syracuse on Saturday, March 5th. Outstanding job preparing the team for competition and leading our cheering program to an unprecedented level of success. So congratulations to them. I also wish to congratulate the varsity wrestlers, Brett Frohl and Brian Larson. They might not be here tonight, but they will represent Babylon at the state championship in Albany on Friday, February 26th and Saturday, February 27th. Young men won the Section 11 D2 Division II Suffolk County Championship this past Saturday, last Saturday, February 13th. So congratulations. And also, we must recognize the varsity boys basketball team. They faced Southampton in the Class B Championship last Tuesday. Unfortunately, they didn't make it onward, but they had a great season. So congratulations to them. So that's news and updates around the district. I'm going to turn this over now to our instructional team and students who are here tonight to talk about Full STEAM Ahead. This has been a district-wide initiative this year, STEAM/STEM education district-wide. We're doing some amazing things with science, technology, engineering, the arts, and mathematics in Babylon schools. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. D'Amico, who will share all that wonderful information.
Okay, so we have a great presentation tonight, a lot of teachers and students that are going to fill you in on what's going on. But I thought I would start by talking a little bit about STEAM is. It might be a term that all of you are not familiar with. STEAM is the integration of science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. And why is STEAM so important? Well, we know that through STEAM, students are gathering the skills, learning the skills that are important for them in this 21st century global market. And these are skills that they need as they search for employment after high school and college. So we know when we're seeing something that looks like STEAM, when it's integrating these elements, and also it's motivating, it's engaging, and it's always around real-world problems. It's inquiry-based and student-centered. When you go into a STEAM class or an activity that is STEAM-based, you're going to see kids at work and engaged creatively in activities. It often has engineering challenges and engineering design process, and you're going to see some of the things we talk about tonight, that's going to be very clear. It always involves 21st century skills that are necessary in today's world, like collaboration, research, teamwork, presentation, the ability to present, creativity and innovation. Some of the things you're going to hear about that are going on in our district this year include coding in our K-6 classes, Google Expedition, which was a project we engaged in at the grade school and the elementary school. First Lego League, our first year in robotics. You heard a little bit about that from Mrs. Rossi. Project Lead the Way, which we're building into our program next year, an engineering program. STEAM classes, grades 9 through 10. This is our first year with STEAM classes. And science research. Hard to believe we're in our fifth year of science research. Really, that amazed me that we've gone that far. At the end of this presentation, I think you're going to leave with three or four ideas. You're going to see that we already have STEAM programs in place that are fantastic. You're going to see that we're building STEAM programs into the future of Babylon schools that are really exciting and fantastic. But most of all, what I'm most excited for you to leave with this evening is the beautiful, wonderful teaching and learning that's going on in our schools. I think you're really going to be blown away by that. I think it's going to be great. So without further ado, we're going to move on first to Miss Judy Ashby, who's our librarian at the Babylon Elementary School.
I'm Judy Ashby, and this is my first year at Babylon Elementary School. I would say that my students wouldn't be here because they're asleep, but I do see more over there, Caitlin. We have started to build an excellent STEAM program that is integrated with library as well as with the classroom teachers at BES. I am grateful for the opportunity to work with these children who are pure joy and so eager to take on new skills and to learn anything, any challenge that we put in front of them. I myself had not known anything about coding until several weeks before we tried it, and the students were teaching me things that I didn't know, and it's just a fabulous opportunity. The other thing that we're going to talk about is the touchscreen Chromebooks. I did bring one. They look like laptops. We've been using them mainly with the first grade right now, but we are starting with the second grade in the next week or so. I'm not going to start it with kindergarten yet because most of them have just learned to use a mouse, and I'm a little bit concerned about confusing them. So we're going to leave that to the end of the year. But they are, we have a card of 28 that are available for teachers to sign out. They can use them on their own, or they can use them during our technology/STEM collaborative period. I see every class for 40 minutes a week with the teacher, and we have been planning research projects, skills, games, or tools that they've learned. And I have a short video that will demonstrate a little bit of what we've been doing with the Chromebooks, both in the library and out. So we started out introducing some of the first grade with just games, because we spent the first several months just teaching them that, no, you can't touch the screen, you can't touch a screen. Now they have the ability to do both. So most of the classes just started out with a game or two. You can see that they are completely engaged in what they're doing. One of the leaders in our building who has used the smart, is the Chromebooks, is Stephanie Kyriakopoulos. She's used it with her invention club as well as her class. What just came on is a program called Seesaw, which we've been using. It's like all the students have their own account. Parents can sign up for an account, and they can post things. The teacher has to control everything that's posted, and the students get to write or speak comments. They can take their own pictures, and the students love doing it, and it's fascinating to watch how engaged they are. This is something from Club Invention, a video that was included, and then students, teachers, and parents were able to comment back. So Club Invention is only meeting for several weeks. I think she's had two, possibly three sessions of it. But it's something that we are starting to bring in to the classroom as well. I tweet regularly, so I've tweeted lots of these pictures, and we've gotten a lot of feedback and positive comments both from other educators and people that use these things. The other thing, what we mentioned, was the coding. Hour of Code is something that was introduced by code.org, and I know that the grade school is going to talk a lot more about it. Lisa Lindemann at one of our library meetings said, oh, have you ever heard of it? And I said, no, I hadn't, so we decided to try it. And I put first a kindergarten class on one of the programs, and that they were a little bit too young for it. But the first graders and the second graders have really taken off, and I have them begging for us to do more. There are two main programs that we use. One was from PBS called Tinker, and the other is on code.org. This was the PBS one that we started with, and it had students making little movements for a candy game. Code.org is a little bit fancier. They know Minecraft, they know Star Wars, and they certainly know Anna and Elsa. The kids are completely engaged. It's very difficult. The Anna and Elsa one requires that they know or use angles and counting steps. I'm sure you'll get to see a little video clip. They don't know what angles are, but just the fact that they're getting exposed to it, to me, is the whole purpose of STEAM at this level. It's to give them an exposure to it and introduce these concepts. It was pajama day. You do have some fun pajama days. Kids helping each other. I am so amazed at how willing these kids are to collaborate. That's how quiet that room was. I just said that room is so loud. I'm sure you've heard. It can get very loud in there. It echoes a lot. They were so quiet and so engaged. We have some Anna and Elsa and Minecraft going on. And, you know, they say that there's not enough females. The girls are just as into it as the boys are. At this level, they don't see any difference. And that, to me, is what's inspiring, because once they get over... Okay, these girls are adorable. So to me, like, that captured exactly what I love about my job and what these kids are loving about our technology program that we're building. So thank you again for letting me work with them and for sharing what we've been working on. Thanks.
If we left the show view.
Next, we have Mrs. Lindman.
Good evening. Our first slide here is about code.org, which Ms. Baskey explained. Terrific, thank you. We have been doing coding just a little bit in the grade school for the last 2 to 3 years. Mr. Bastiani, myself, and Mrs. Weiss have explored it a little bit with some of the classes. But this year, it was expanded to reach every student in the grade school. In addition, we had a Ballin parent and computer associates employee, Mrs. Moeller, who's up at the center over there, who volunteered her time to come in and work with the students and staff to host the event. It started, we even invited parents. So what happened is Mrs. Moeller and Mr. Fasciani got together one evening, invited parents to come up to the grade school, and students came also, and Mrs. Moeller explained the importance of coding and also the code.org website, and parents had a chance to try out what their students would soon be doing the following week. Oh, yes. I don't know how that passed. Did I do it? Sorry.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Let's try to get it back in show mode.
So they had a great time, and one of the comments that I heard from that evening was the students automatically teaching the parents how to code, and that is a fantastic thing to happen. Mrs. Muller then came back for a big old kickoff where we were all in the cafeteria. We had 2 sessions, and she explained her job to our students and the importance, and shared great information about some of the projects that she does at Computer Associates. And the following week, we kicked off. We wanted to make sure that every student was reached, so it was decided that during their art and library times, the students would come in for 40 minutes of coding, so we had a little over an hour during the week because they had 2 sessions. It was done with Mrs. Muller in visiting with us, and Mrs. Weiss, our technology teacher, and Mrs. Stork and myself hosted a lot of fun times. And again, the successes are evident. We see in the center and the determination of trying in the computer lab with Mrs. Weiss and Mrs. Stork, because they were in one room and I was in another. They even put the code.org website up onto the smart board, and they were problem solving right there. And just like with the younger students that Mrs. Ashby shared, the collaboration, the cheering on was amazing. And they're all asking for more code.org, which I definitely share during the year with them too. So that was our adventure at code.org. Now we move my slide. Thank you. Okay, so December was Technology Month at the grade school. While we were right in the middle of code.org, and we found out that we were accepted to host Google at our school. This past summer, myself, Mrs. White, Mrs. Stork, Mrs. Palmer all visited ISTE in Philadelphia. ISTE is the International Society for Technology and Education. The conference was a few days long, and one of the things that we ran to see was Google's Expedition Pioneer Program. And we had our first experience with using the virtual reality platform that Google is producing.
Well, I just want to add one thing. We were the first and only school district on Long Island to be accepted with Google.
This past fall, Google announced that they were going to go out and pilot, and they wanted students and teachers' feedback, and I think every single one of us applied, and we were accepted, and we were thrilled to host them. We had 10 days to prepare as we write in the middle of our code. So it was a little crazy for us, but we did it, right? So you can see Google Center representative. She came out, I don't know if my picture is there, she came out with the Google Cardboard and the smartphones that they provide. She brought 60 in tow with her, charged them all up, gave the three teachers, that would be myself, Mrs. Thorpe, and Mrs. Weiss, a quick overview on how to use the platform. And then, in one day, we three teachers saw every student that came into the library and the art room to visit with and try Google Expeditions. Google Expeditions, as I said, is a virtual reality platform. It is built for the classroom. They have over 100 virtual field trips for students to experience. And our students were treated to a tour of Mexico, important sites of World War II, NASA, the Great Wall of China, and the Civil War battlegrounds, and an underwater trip among the sharks, which was very popular. That was among the many that we got to choose. We spoke to the classroom teachers to see what they were working on in the classroom, and we tried to connect trips to the classroom curriculum that day. The program uses a tablet to run on. It's a teacher station. Each smartphone is inserted into the Google Cardboard. And the teacher is the person who controls the trip, starts the trip, has in the center down at the bottom, Google provides a tutorial, I guess, talking points for the teacher, and also the teacher has the ability to point out and control the Google Expeditions to point out and send arrows actually to the screens of the student. All of the teachers, we tried, you can see through the bottom, we tried to get as many teachers to experience both using the cardboard and using the platform. And it was very, very easy, and they enjoyed using it. Unlike using our code I saw in the elementary school, Google Expeditions was noisy and exciting. Oops, now I want to go back. Can you start? And could you just hit that?
No, that's too sophisticated. I can't move. No. Oh, wait. There you go. You got it. Then go on.
They're pointing at all of the things they're seeing through those, you know, like our old.
And then you put your phone in.
What's in the mouth?
Those were the sharks. So, it was loud and exciting, and everyone had a great time learning.
Your phone.
So thank you.
Google brought them. Mrs. Stork and Mrs. Brown from the grade school.
Tonight, but we were lucky that we got
some crew
here. So, if you're not show what this is right now. This is the first Lego team. First thing, Miss Brown and I, we are so proud of them. And we just want to talk, and they're going to tell you a little bit about what they did. If you really want to hear about STEAM, this is it. Because this has got everything in it, from science and technology, engineering, art and math. It's got it all. And they really rose to the challenge, and they took over, and they're just great. Do you want to talk a little bit about
that? Yeah. So they competed in the Trash Truck Challenge. That was the challenge of the first Lego League. There were things that we're the first Lego League. It's called the first Lego League, so we're the first Lego League. And they competed in the Trash Truck Challenge. And the challenge consisted of three components: the robot game, the project presentation, and all while following the core values of the first Lego League. The students met a couple times a week towards the end, and they all worked so well together that we talk about it and we tear up because we just can't. Like, their dedication, their motivation, they were just amazing. And the parents as well for bringing them all these hours and everything they put into it. But they're going to talk a little bit about all the pieces of their project. You can see that we have a pencil tray. They had to choose a piece of trash. This is one of the projects. They had to choose a piece of trash that's in our landfills and come up with a solution and how they can take that piece, lessen it from our landfills or reuse it or just... They'll tell you all about it. They
Do you guys want to start? We're going to start with the project. So this is the project, and do you guys want to talk about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Joshua.
Usually we have Joshua here, and she was our one girl on the team with some other girls. What the other girls? And Joshua was the one girl on the team that actually did a lot of this.
So
this,
our project is kind of like how to get pencils out of our landfills and stuff. Our solution was to make a pencil that's half pencil, half eraser, because most people just throw the pencil on the ground after it's all done, and the eraser's all gone. So we decided if you make it half pencil, half eraser, people won't throw it out as commonly. And if they do, people can find it and bring it to the art room and make a pencil tree like this one.
Or anything.
So that was one of their other solutions. What do they do with all these pencils that they find and collect?
And they did all of the research on here. Who wants to talk about the research? What did we look up? We started with discussing with the custodians after they came up with their problem. So KJ, you want to talk about? How we interview the custodians, and then we have our number team in. Jake was one of the interviews. Joshua, Owen.
Four or five or so custodians and asked them a couple questions about why they were like, about how many pencils they saw a day, like what hallways they found more commonly in, and like if they found more, like without the front, if they were all small, small, broken, used, unused, no eraser, blah, stuff. And they most commonly said that it was...
And the janitor mostly found that the janitor mostly found erasers without...
Pencils
without erasers.
So let's focus on the math.
Well, the math that was involved, how did you figure this out? Did you use math at all?
I have.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
So
we found 210 pencils in the third grade hallway over a course of 3 weeks. So we, about 70 pencils were lost per week in the third grade alone. So there are four grades in the Babylon grade school. So we found out that about 280 pencils were wasted per week in Babylon grade school. And then we multiplied that by the number of days in a school year, and then
the district,
and the counties, Nassau, Suffolk, and then we did all of Long Island. And Long Island wastes about 4 million pencils.
4,550,000.
Look at the
white
hat.
4,550,000.
So they a lot of approximation on that, obviously, but they had to figure it all out, how many districts were on Long Island, and all the things from that. So this was just one part of this whole label week. A lot of people think it's just the robot, but it's not. We went from this to our next part was, they're very, very, very into core values. And what the core values is basically teaching them what? What is it teaching you?
Tell us your core values.
What are they teaching you?
They're teaching us how to go and be nice in our everyday lives, be a nice person.
What other thing was the core value, a major thing on the core values?
To work together, teamwork.
Gracious professionalism.
Yes.
It's something they made up. It means
what's that?
Like it's
cooperative.
It's called cooperative professionalism.
Cooperation.
Yeah, and cooperation. They're both stuff that the Little League made up, but cooperation is like cooperating while still in cooperation. Cooperating while in friendly competition,
So this was another part that they had to, when they went to the tournament, anybody could come up and say, give me one of the three core values, and they had to know them, and they had to show that they were using them and how they were using them. So it was really, another part of it was that they were learning about just being a good kid and just being a good person. That's all of this that comes out of that.
And another piece of the on tournament day, not only do they have to come up with the presentation, but when they went with the judges, they actually had to perform either a skit or a play. They came up with a game. Would like to talk about that?
KJ,
you're the host.
We did a game based on Family Feud. We called it Lego Feud. I was Steve Harvey. So we had two teams, and they would face off, and they tied, so everyone was a winner. All the answers are on the board, but we memorized them, and we had worked hard on memorizing them.
And then the third part, which is the part that most people think this is all about, and it really is just a third of it. It's not the whole thing. Was actually, ta-da!
The robot.
Tell me about that. What do you have to do on the table?
So for the robot game, we have to complete, there were 11 missions on the board, but we didn't have to complete all of them. And so you had to think of a design that would work with your program, so you could pick stuff up, drop stuff, and go around and drop stuff off. And then we had to write a program on this new program. Only Cal and I'm pretty sure had seen it from Joe. So
I probably didn't.
That was the final. Yeah. And the final part of the qualifying, they paired them with a team they didn't know at all. And they were paired together, and they had to work together to do some of the missions using either of their robots or combining their robots together. And it was an alliance. It was called an alliance round, which was kind of cool because it just was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And they weren't even, no one was really prepared. So it was kind of on the spot, which was great because you really got to see that they were the ones doing it. It wasn't the adults. And that's part of the core values. We don't know everything. And we have to, as a team, work and figure it out all together. So with the alliance, you really could tell that these boys and girls were actually doing all the work. And it wasn't just a parent doing it, which is really nice to see. Joshua was one of our major persons. Do you want to explain really fast before we show this what you did?
Well, I created a video.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, we're here.
Way to go, crew. Good job.
Terrific job.
Good job.
All right. With that, we're going to move up to the junior-senior high school, and we're going to begin with Mr. Katz and Project Lead the Way.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Katz.
I feel like it's first period all over again. The blank stares in the audience. Let me just tell you something. That is a tough act to follow right there. Congratulations to the first lady.
I think you just met your future engineering.
I was about to say, I usually like to say good evening. I'll say good evening to the first lady. distinguished members of the board administration, because I think this is the audience that I'm playing to here. I'm pretty excited to be here to tell you a little bit about something called Project Lead the Way. Project Lead the Way is it's the new way that we're going to be teaching my area that I teach, which is called technology education, which, believe it or not, to me has really become a bit of an antiquated term, considering when they named the area formerly known as industrial arts technology education in 1986, we were essentially the area that was dealing with computers. It was very experimental, and what we were experimenting back then has become mainstream. So where does that leave us? And that really leaves us in a really good spot, because this year I've had the opportunity to work intensely on this program, which really is an engineering, it's not an engineering-based program. It's an engineering program. It's not designed to give you a taste. It's designed to have you really, really go through all phases of engineering. And it starts with two core classes, which we will be offering next year. The typical track would be the ninth grader would typically go into a class called Design and Drawing for Production, which we've had for many years. It's been one of our core classes. But now it's not only DDP, but it's IED, Introduction to Engineering Design. And what it does is it utilizes Autodesk Inventor, and Autodesk is one of the premier software packages in the engineering industry worldwide. And Inventor is their flagship 3D modeling program. So what students really do in this is they learn how to really take their concept, their ideas and concepts, and not model them in an artistic way, but model them in a way that can convey their idea through blueprint and drawing and detail. And they work on engineering as well as reverse engineering. And this kind of sets the stage for if they wanted to move forward in the program. In 10th grade, they would move into the class. I actually will not be instructing IED. Mr. Magnus will be teaching that. I'm going to be teaching this course, Principles of Engineering. And Principles of Engineering is it's a survey course, meaning it goes through a lot of different facets of engineering, which may be static and kinematic forces, which, as you can tell, involves a lot of math, pneumatics, hydraulics. And one of the big highlights is a lot of this works around the VEX robotics program, which uses a programmable, it's essentially the brain. It's called the W-Cortex, but it's sensor-related, and then we go through and program that. Mr. D'Amico, could you do the... next slide.
Perhaps I can't.
Perhaps you can.
You're going to have to get the mouse.
What, space bar?
I know what it is, Mrs. Palming. There you go.
All right, so...
Hit the back button. Arrow.
Okay, so Project Lead the Way is a college-level base course, and they have affiliated colleges. Our affiliated college in New York State happens to be RIT, or the Rochester Institute of Technology. In order to instruct one of these classes, you have to yourself take a 10-day intensive training course, which I took through January. It was anywhere from 13 to 15 hours a day of instruction. We did every single piece of work that the high school student does throughout an academic year. We did in 10 days. So we're not teaching from a book. We're teaching from experience. If you take a look at some of the affiliated colleges across the country, we have some pretty serious institutions there. So the student basically takes these classes if they like it, and we're going to be adding probably two more. We'll definitely be adding two more. And they stay in the track. They can potentially leave school with Project Lead the Way endorsed diploma, as well as some really, really good experience with programming and engineering. Another caveat of the program is that we also instituted, just at the end of this year, the VEX Robotics, competitive robotics program, guys. So there is going to be a home for you here at the high school. And it's an amazing program. The VEX Robotics goes all the way up to the university level. It's really, we're going to be programming in Robot C. It's hard for me to explain how amazing this program is. It's very exciting. It's very new. It's in over 5,000 schools across the country. Students can earn college credits through the program. It's really, as I went away to learn how to become an instructor, many of my graduating seniors who were leaving, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I cannot believe you're going to be offering that next year, and I'm going to be gone. So, you know, unfortunately, I feel for them, but I'm so excited for the future of students that are coming through now. And we did a nice ninth grade orientation a few weeks ago, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, I could say, as a teacher here, I'm very proud to be able to offer material of this caliber to these students in the community, because they really, really are amazing students, and the faculty here is very, very supportive. So if at any point you have any questions about this project leading the way, please don't hesitate to get in touch with myself or Mrs. D'Amico. We've been working really hand-in-hand to put this together, and Mrs. Rise has really been instrumental in bringing this program on board. Yes, sir.
It sounds like you're basing it on all mechanical principles. Is that what I'm hearing here?
In principles of engineering, it deals heavily with mechanics.
Yes.
It deals with gear ratios, mechanical advantage,
right,
and things like that. So
right,
those are the foundations, really, you know.
That's right.
You know, it's the simple machines, but it's how we put the numbers to that and work to advantage.
That's right.
Okay, because we all know through the laws of physics, energy is either created or destroyed. We can only transfer that.
That's right.
So how do we create mechanical advantage? And that's really what engineering is.
Do you bring the mathematical areas into this basic?
Excuse me, I really appreciate your interest, but in protocol, we are going to have to ask you to wait until the question and answer session.
I thought he had said
there's
already questions.
You
right?
Can feel free to contact me anytime.
I thought I heard the signature.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Staff. Science research, Mr. Cerrone.
Good evening, everyone. Come out here. A little bit about science research. Probably the two greatest things about science research are, A, the person who teaches the class, Mrs. Barone, who is a scientist, works in the lab, and the second part is our brand new lab, our state-of-the-art science research lab. You can see students working in there every day. Starts off with the intro to science research, which predominantly is eighth graders. We have about 30 to 40 eighth graders over the last 2 years that are in the intro program, develops fundamental research skills, it's hands-on, and then they move up to research 1 through 4. You can be a 9th or 10th grader and then just have the bug to, you know what, I want to try science research and enter into intro to research in 9th or 10th grade and then maybe follow all the way through research 1 or 2. If you started research in 8th grade and went all the way through your senior year, you would finish in research 4, all right, so you'd go 1, 2, 3, and 4 on your 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And you work with some of the positive, best things about it. We work with Stony Brook University, the labs at Stony Brook, Brookhaven National Lab, Cold Spring Harbor, and there's Cold Spring Harbor, and there's also many competitions from Intel and Siemens to many of the different events on Long Island that science research events that you're allowed to enter. It is rigorous. You might start with 30 or 40 in eighth grade. There's no school on Long Island that's finishing with 30 or 40 by their senior year. It's for students that want to be science research students. She does an amazing job with it. A spin-off of science research is our STEM program, or STEAM program, sorry. It started this year. It's hands-on in STEAM. And I see Mrs. Shepard's here. I'll let her talk to you about the STEAM, which other students can get into in ninth grade.
Hi guys, so I'll be brief, but I'm just started teaching the new STEAM class this year, so it's kind of in between the elementary program and what Mr. Cax and Mr. Mankus are teaching up at the upper level grades. It's a science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics course We started out our first year this year very small, and I gotta tell you, it's been an unbelievable experience for me and for the small group of students that I have. What it is a program to really introduce students to all of the different varieties of engineering, but how they apply to environmental, marine, earth, and biological sciences. It's really a course not for the top level it could be. It's not for the very bottom. It's really for any student that wants to take it. What we're doing with them is really teaching one-on-one skills with technology. So we're learning how to make our own websites. We use Google Classroom on a daily basis to communicate, to share, to collaborate. My students are learning and building up on the skills that they're learning down in the elementary school and making infographics. But we're also doing some real hands-on science. We try and go outside as much as we can. Right now we're in the dead of winter, but as soon as the temperature gets above 45 degrees, we'll be out there almost every day. We did some really cool things so far. Right now I got to teach them how to make solar hot water heaters. We tried a little bit of solar ovens. We did some biological sampling outdoors along the Carles River, all the way up from the northern end down to the south end. Right now we're in an aviation unit where the students are really exploring different ways, different methods of flight, and the basic science behind it, but then we're also dealing with art, and so in the art aspect of it, the kids are really trying to relate flight in the biological way. So they're making models of different types of wings, of bats, of butterflies, and really explaining the significance of why they're important to the earth, to our environment, to our society, and then also why it's important for real scientists to understand the basics in the biology to design new things. So some of the things we'll be working on is chemical engineering, some biological engineering, mechanical engineering, and a lot of technology. But one of the best things is that we get is to really have one-on-one experience with the kids. So it's a great class for a ninth grader. And then after ninth grade, they can take STEAM 10, and that focuses on different areas of science, not just the earth, environmental, and biological. And then if they really enjoy engineering and technology, they would go right up into Project Lead the Way. So it's a really new, exciting program, so I'm really excited to build up on it and continue it next year. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Okay, so moving forward, I hope you got a good sense of some of the wonderful things going on here related to STEAM. And moving forward, we're still going. Mr. Katz talked about the engineering strand related to Project Lead the Way. And following that, there's a computer science strand, and we're going to implement and adopt that as well. We have an elementary school science room that we're working on that continues to grow. We have a broadcast club. We're going to hear a little bit about Mrs. Weiss on the next slide. But the broadcast club, though it's not specifically related to all of the elements of STEAM, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for our students to learn about technology and to learn presentation skills. I love that club. We have Vex Robotics. Mr. Katz talked about that. We'll be bringing that in next year. AP Capstone is kind of a humanities strand that we're looking at related to AP, and that we'll be looking at implementation, not this year coming up, but the following year. And we're also working through our committees, our professional development committees and our curriculum committees. We're working on mini grant opportunities for our teachers and professional development within that. Before we get to the last slide, I just want to take a minute to really talk about a common thread through all of this work. And that really is the dedication of the teachers that you've seen tonight and many other teachers that aren't here. You know, the Board of Ed and Central Office, we're really here to bring these new programs and to support these programs. And it's really our building principals and people like Carol Polney, who is our Director of Technology, that are really providing the leadership for these types of programs. And then it's our teachers. It's that the common thread here is the dedication of the teachers that came up here. So I just want to take a minute to talk about each of them. Judy Ashby started, this is her first year in the library. And she's done an amazing job. It's hard for me to believe that she's just here this year. She stepped right in And, you know, under Jessica Kemmler's leadership and Carol Polney's leadership, just embrace all of the technology and the wonderful things that you saw here. Lisa Lindemann, who really started that library more years ago than I care to remember, I guess about 15 years ago, she started that library, moved over to the grade school, and continued the same wonderful work that she started there. And with colleagues like Pat Stork and Jennifer Brown, they continue to grow technology there. Pat Stork and Jennifer Brown had no idea what they were getting into this year with First Lego League. And they've put in more hours than I can even continue to count. They had no idea what it was going to take, and all they kept telling me was how excited they were to keep doing it. And it was just unbelievable. Over at the high school, Brian Katz is leading us into this project Lead the Way. He spent 10 11-hour days up in Rochester working on learning this program. And he, too, talks about how excited he is to be bringing this here. Mary Beth Shepherd has built this STEAM program under the direction and leadership of Mr. Cerrone. When I was thinking about STEM and hearing STEM, it was really Mr. Cerrone that introduced a lot of us to STEAM. And Mary Beth Shepherd is building that with incredible enthusiasm. And Claire Barone, who's not here today, is at a meeting with other science research teachers from an award that she won through her work a number of years ago. I can't believe that program's 5 years old. We started in, I think it was maybe my first year here, the Board of Ed started talking about science research and wanting that program there. And she took that on and has built it 5 years. So that common thread is really the support of central office, the support of our Board of Education, the leadership of people like our building principals and our directors like Carol Polney, and the passion and dedication of our teachers. So I just want to take a moment to thank all of them, thank the board, and thank our teachers for that dedication and our administrators for their leadership. I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Polney for a recognition piece, our teacher recognition.
These are my favorite kind of presentations where I really don't have to say anything, and the kids and the teachers speak really for all of us and demonstrate what's going on in our school district, because we really have amazing things going on. Back in January, I had the opportunity to nominate a teacher for an ASSET Bright Light Award. ASSET is the Association of Suffolk Supervisors for Educational Technology. This year, I serve as the vice president of ASSET, but I've been a member for probably 20 years, and I've been on the executive board for 3 years now. So I have chosen Danielle Weiss. Danielle, please come up here. She's very Babylon today in her black and orange. I actually have known Danielle for a very long time. We worked together in West Babylon School District. And when we had an opportunity and there was a position here for a technology teacher, she was one of the people that we interviewed and just did really a phenomenal job. She's only been here 2 years?
This is my second year, yes.
Her second year. But the things that she did last year, she worked in the elementary school and the grade school, so she worked with all 7 grade levels in a chaotic schedule, but somehow she managed to get it done. This year she is in the grade school only working with grades 3 through 6, and she also does this broadcast club. If you haven't seen the videos, they're up on the district Vimeo channel. There's a link off of our district webpage for you to see. But I chose Danielle for this award, and we went to a luncheon in January, and Mrs. Rossi and Mr. D'Amico came with us. And it was a really great day where we got to hear from other winners from other school districts talking about what they're doing with technology. Danielle got to explain a little bit about what she was doing.
And Mr. Goldberg was there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. D'Amico was the first one he missed
there.
In many, many years.
Look at the picture, Ms. Polney.
I'm looking at your picture.
Wait, Mr. D'Amico, you're a little small now.
I'm sorry, Mr. Goldberg. Sorry, Mr. Goldberg. I don't know how I just messed that up, but picture set shows who was there. But we had a really nice day. It was really great to hear from other schools and what they're doing. We walked away with a lot of great ideas. Danielle got to share what she is doing. If you want to say anything, that's up to you at the moment.
I did prepare something. It's on my phone, which is not with me. But I know what I have to say. It's that it is an absolute honor and a pleasure to work for the Babylon School District and with the wonderful staff and faculty that I work with. I got to this point and I'm able to be the bright light because of the staff I work with. My director, phenomenal director, like for the past 15 years, she is the electric to my life. She's my electric to the light bulb, I keep telling her. You know, and thankfully I have a wonderful board of ed here that like helps, you know, envision everything and help us get all the things we need for the students. And of course, Mr. Goldberg, who is a phenomenal principal that, you know,
because he went to the luncheon.
He went to my luncheon. You know, we had a great meal and everything.
Yes.
And I thank you, especially for coming to the luncheon as well. You know, it was a great day. And I look forward to just continuing to do more. And yes, look at our broadcast because the students work really hard. I have a couple of them still here from the club. And thank you. Thank you very
much
for my
Danielle's husband and two of her kids are here tonight, so I just want them to recognize them as well because I know what you put up with at home. She doesn't sleep. She's constantly going.
She's always
so
working.
Thank you.
Right. Congratulations.
Okay, so we got to let me shut this down again. Your other one.
As we're waiting, I have to commend all of our students and instructional staff and also our parents of these terrific kids. Without you, we wouldn't be here. It's just amazing to see the work that's going on in STEAM education throughout the district. Hopefully tonight got a good taste of it. It is a major theme here in Babylon Schools and something that we want to grow on. And I want to thank Mr. D'Amico. He needs to get a lot of recognition because he takes these ideas and runs with them. And thank you, Mr. D'Amico, for really pulling this all together for us this year. Very, very appreciated. If there are any parents or students here, it might be who presented on STEAM, this might be the time to go. We're going into a budget presentation right now. I'm going to pull up Dr. Daly. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, it's that part of the year again. We're talking budget. It can sometimes be an exciting time of the year. It's a time of the year where we're almost putting together like a Rubik's Cube and determining, right? Next year's fiscally prudent yet educationally rich spending plan. And I must tell you, I have a wonderful central office staff with Mr. D'Amico and Dr. Daly, and we have been really preparing a budget over the last number of months that we feel will be a very promising budget come May. Thank you. Okay. So I will begin tonight by explaining that the proposed 16-17 school year budget is one that has a commitment to presenting a tax levy cap compliant budget. Dr. Daly will be going into that in a few moments, what that means, but we do have a Board of Education that's going to be committed to making sure that that happens based on our recommendations. We are very, very optimistic that next year's proposed budget will just not maintain, and you'll hear me saying a lot of this over the next number of months, it will not just maintain, but now enhance curricular programs,
A lot of our budget is supporting what you saw tonight being presented by students. It will be a budget that enhances artistic talents. We have amazing, talented musicians and artists. This budget helps to support their needs, and it also goes to support our athletes with offerings desired by our students and our community. It is also a budget that holds strong to reasonable costs to our community members. In a few minutes, you're going to see what the allowable tax levy cap will be established at. And Dr. Daly will go into that and what that means. But when we put a budget together, we really do so with enhancing programs while at the same time keeping our taxpayers in mind. That's not an easy thing to do, but we're confident we're able to do it this year. It will have an eye towards value. It will carry one of the smallest tax levy increases that we've seen in recent years, which is a good thing for our residents, right, as well as our district in meeting the children's needs. Okay. As I was saying, the budget development process has... It actually started months ago, believe it or not. We have been meeting with many, many stakeholder teams. It's been a truly collaborative, detail-oriented process, which it has to be. It will result in a final proposed budget that is reflective of what an outstanding Babylon education represents. And it will also be a proposed budget that is fiscally responsible, as I mentioned, to our residents. Okay, other things I want you to know. It is a budget document that currently, right now, is a living, breathing document. We have a first draft. That draft is continuing to get analyzed. There are a lot of unknowns out there, which we're going to in a few slides down. We don't know the final state aid one that's coming in. There are some unknowns there, but we're hopeful that we're going to nail it down. So when I say that, we basically mean that, you know, we're in a discussion phase, and final decisions are not made until the Board of Education officially adopts the budget on April 18, 2016. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to my better half, who will go into what the New York State property tax cap legislation needs.
Thank you, Ms. Rossi.
Okay.
Good evening. This year, the 16-17 upcoming school year, will be the fifth year of the New York State property tax cap. Basically, what that legislation did was it placed a cap on the amount that the tax levy can increase one year to the next. Basically, the cap was 2% or the CPI, whichever was higher. That dramatically changed the budgetary landscape that school districts now have to operate within. It changed the way in which school boards develop their budgets. It sort of flipped the process, where now the tax levy increase was defined, and the spending plans had to be designed to fit within the limitations of the tax levy. There are some caveats to the levy. There are some exclusions to the cap. You'll see them in a following slide where I talk about the actual tax levy limit formula. A couple of other aspects to the cap. If a Board of Education wanted to try and override the cap, they would need a supermajority vote, which again was one of the more controversial aspects to the cap legislation. There's nothing else that you vote on that you need to receive a supermajority to pass on. But again, that's what they did with this tax cap legislation. A contingent budget, that would be a failed budget, twice defeated budget, you'd be required to go on a contingent budget and there would be zero increase in the tax levy. Now, I talked about the tax cap era. There have been 4 years we've operated under these restrictions. The slide on the screen shows how Babylon has fared in comparison to the other school districts on Long Island, which there are 124, and the 71 districts in Suffolk County. You can see in 2012, first year of the cap, Babylon's budget-to-budget increase was 0.38%. The average for the 124 Long Island districts, 221, 2.31. The tax levy increase, the percent increase in the tax levy, in Babylon it was 1.39, Long Island 2.67, 2.85. The yes vote plurality, the number of people who supported that budget that year, was 72.70%. If you continue that through, you could continue down. Now you see some areas where that increase is higher than 2%. Well, those are both years where the exclusions in the cap formula enabled Babylon and most other districts to exceed 2% and still require a simple majority vote. But here again, even with those factored in, you could still see that our average tax levy in the first 4 years of the tax cap era are below the averages for Long Island and Suffolk County. And as Mrs. Rossi alluded to earlier, this year our tax levy cap will be 1.37. We don't know what the rest will be for Long Island, but if you look down, or at least if you look down the spending plan, which is a part of this that we have exclusive control over, with some exceptions, our average increase over that 4 years was 1.43, which I'm sure is below the CPI for that same time period. So I think it's safe to say that we've been doing our job, and you saw a lot of wonderful programs earlier. Those programs are in our first draft of the budget, and I feel comfortable to say will remain when the budget's adopted on April 18th. I won't bore you with the details on this. This will be available on the district's website. This is the formula that all school districts in New York State have to use to determine what the tax levy can increase 1 year to the next. There's a couple items here that have worked to our benefit. One is this item here. It's referred to as the tax-based growth factor. It's actually not provided by the New York State Education Department. It's provided by the Office of Real Property Tax Service. That's the growth in the bricks and mortar in the community. That's an increase. That 0.41 is helpful because it provides an additional $158,000. That, I think, is a result of the leftover improvements in assessed value due to Sandy. Those homes that are now coming back on the tax rolls because their assessments were reduced when Sandy hit. And now they're still coming back on, so our tax base is increasing. This number here, this is what you're hearing. This is the allowable growth factor per New York State Department of Education. It's 0.12. The CPI was virtually no increase in the calendar year CPI, July 1 to June 30th last year. So that's what was passed on to schools. That's what schools have to work with this year. And there's quite a bit of talk that schools this year will try to pierce the cap because there are very little consequences to not. If it's defeated, their just tax levy moves forward from 1 year to the next. That won't be the case here. We have another item that's benefiting a cap formula. We're introducing the second phase of the project renewal debt borrowing. Voter-approved capital program debt is exempt from the tax cap calculation. It wouldn't be fair to have that go up because the voters have already approved it when they voted for the referendum. So it shouldn't be included in the cap calculation. So we get the benefit of this number as opposed to this number. Our 15-16 property tax levy is $38,558,225. That's an increase of $527,000 over the current 15-16 year. In percentage, that's 1.37%. Very complicated. Again, it will be on the website. We will talk about this in future budget presentations. The official start to the budget process begins with the release of the governor's budget for state aid. And this is actually encouraging because you can see here that the bottom line, this is the important number, 5.95% increase for the first run is encouraging.
The legislature, the full legislature, has to adopt the budget by April 1st. And if past practice or past history is any indication of what will happen in the future, they usually increase the governor's proposal for schooling. So right now we're looking at an increase, a total increase of $559,000. Key factors. These are things that we need to consider. Step and contractual increases. As some of you know, up until last year, we had five of our six bargaining units working with or under unsettled contracts. We have settled four of them. Those costs are included in the first draft of the budget. The approximate dollars, $400,000 for teachers, clerical, administrators, and aides and monitors. The second bullet here, you know, we talk about this a lot. You may not hear it in Babylon as much as other people talk about it. There are certain costs that are forced upon us due to regulatory or legislation enacted, and we have no option but to fund those things. Some items such as APPR, the response to intervention, of course, certain auditing aspects that we have to pay for that are that have their roots in legislation, mandates regarding special education, and the increase that many districts are seeing in the ENL, ELL,
ESL,
right.
Okay.
That constantly changes.
Yeah. These are all unfunded mandates, and one of the things that we're working really hard on this year is to advocate for Babylon schools. We have an advocacy workshop coming up with our elected leaders. They will be here in the district with our community representatives. And we are pushing, right, for full restoration of GEA funding to benefit our school district. So, but we bring these things up to them. You know, unfunded mandates have been going on for years, and schools have not received relief. So the more we talk about it as a school community, hopefully they can take it and run and help us.
Oh, continued. Couple other factors. This will be, and this is very encouraging for schools, the second consecutive year that we have seen a decrease, a drop in the employer contribution rate for the New York State Teachers Retirement System. The percentages on the screen or the amount of the drop may not seem significant, but it is when you think about the salary base it's applied to. That's applied to the salaries of all the professional staff in Babylon schools. That has the potential to be a budget-to-budget savings of approximately $100,000 to $200,000 in that budget line. So that's huge, because all of the investments in the teacher retirement system are tied into investments. Wall Street, when Wall Street does well, the coffers of the teacher retirement system do well. I see Mr. Rendy smiling. Thank you, Mr. Rendy. So we'll just hope that Wall Street keeps humming along and this rate continues to go down. NYSHA premiums, New York State Insurance Plan. Last year, this year, that renews on a calendar year, another budget challenge. It straddles budget years. The January 1, 2016 premium increase was 6%. We have to budget for an increase next year. We're budgeting for approximately 5.5%. I guess the good news, bad news there is that we now get a percentage contribution from all of our bargaining units. So even though the premium's increasing, the amount that we're getting back contributions from our employee groups are also higher. Mrs. Rossi touched upon it. Restoration of GEA. I sort of glossed over this in the state aid slide. Gap elimination adjustment came into existence in 2008. It was a maneuver on the part of the state to take the federal stimulus money and use that to sort of supplant aid that we were getting. They took away from us and called it gap elimination adjustment and used the federal stimulus money in its place. So once the federal stimulus money dried up, we were never made whole. They've been adding it back in each year since. We're still owed $571,000. Under the governor's proposal, we're getting $177,000 back next year. We're confident, based on different association legislative forums that we've been to that the Senate will not agree to a budgetary deal that does not guarantee full restoration of GPA. So right away, we could see another $377,000 in GEA money.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. You could read the screen.
Sure.
We're moving on. March 1st is notification date for teacher retirements. That's always bittersweet for us.
Yeah, you know, some unknowns, but as we move through the next few weeks, a lot of these unknowns will become known items. I encourage all of you to attend our budget meetings and as we unveil the details as we go along. But we're hopeful, and we hope to deliver a proposed budget that continues to serve our terrific students here in Babylon and our community residents. So thank you. Is any questions? Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Grazi, Dr. Bailey, Mr. Rico. We are now going to move to item number 7, which is the committee reports. We're going to start with audit. Mrs. Tene.
Okay, good evening. We met last month with our internal auditors, Naropi and Smith. Key control testing areas that are currently being researched this month include extracurricular activities, payroll disbursements, disaster recovery plan, and general controls of home tutoring services. And we will be scheduling a meeting next month once these testing areas are completed to investigate any recommendations that are made.
Thank you. Finance, what's it yours?
Finance, we met twice since the last meeting on the 25th of January and tonight. Not to reiterate what was just said, but basically, Beth Daly has been giving us, money we know we're going to get. They're, I'm not sure what the gap is, and our overriding issue is we're trying to keep programs and everything we have status quo, and we're very diligent to make that happen. The next meeting will be March 21st, and at that point, we'll have a lot more information and be much closer to process.
Thank you. Then we have buildings and grounds. Mr.
Benzaneta. Thank you. We met a few weeks ago to discuss the ongoing project.
I think the field is 99.99% completed as of today. Punch list items, but they got a break with this most recent weather.
Yeah, we were hoping to have the fields done earlier than this, but we ran into some problems with baseball diamonds, some dirt that needed to be replaced, something comes up. So that is, that's been taken care of. The high school roof project, I believe, is done also, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you go on the website, we have a breakdown of the presentation that we did a few weeks ago that kind of lays out where we are, where we're going. In the coming weeks, probably a couple of weeks from now, we'll set up another engineering meeting to review the next phase, and the next phase is really exciting. One of the points that, we've made over the last several years is, this is not just about one thing or another thing. We focused on specific areas initially because we got the permits for it, we had the funding for it. The next phase of the project is going to deal with Royal Hall, which we believe is going to be a show place, the music rooms, the home and arts and careers rooms, science rooms. A lot of what you saw on the screen today that deals with STEM and STEAM, the technology rooms, we're going to maintain the woodworking. It's important that students know how to bang nails, but it's also important that you blend a digital perspective with them and you have the computer-assisted design and to really flesh out that STEM and STEAM program, STEAM content as much as you can. So we'll continue to update. The next meeting that we do for buildings and grounds, we'll have a fairly extensive breakdown on finances just to keep everybody apprised of where that is. The good news is we're basically where we need to be. But we'll give more detail at that meeting. Thanks.
May I just mention one thing? There's a really nice summary in the Beacon facilities that you can take a look at. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Next is technology.
Well, as everyone saw, we just had our technology meeting tonight, so I'd like to thank Carol, Dan, the principals, and all the teachers for putting that on. It was really good.
Apache Technology
Man? That was it.
Okay, nice.
They make me look good all the time.
It was.
And
We also adopted policy 5151. This policy now allows the district to properly vet students. We would receive a specialized education in Babylon on a tuition-paying basis from public school districts. The third policy, 5422, was also recently adopted. It has to deal with allergies in the school. This policy was generated with input from parents and staff members, as well as the wellness committee. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 8th at 3:15 in the central office, and we'll be looking at two policies, 5420 and policy 5300.6. Mm-hmm. 5420 is student health services and student searches and interrogations.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that does it for our committee reports, which brings us to item number 8, which are board agenda items. We're now in the portion of our meeting where we will permit questions from visitors on agenda items. This allows our community members and anybody who's looking to ask for clarification on an item to approach the podium, make a comment, or ask their question. Seeing so many faces here tonight, I'd just like to review some of the protocol and procedures involved in agenda item, new business items, excuse me. Tonight we have 19 items on the agenda. If you have a question or a comment about any of those 19 items on the agenda, you may approach the podium, you may state your name, you may state your address, and you may ask your question. If you have questions other than something about those 19 items, we need to ask you to wait until we get to the portion of the agenda, which is labeled as item 12, which is titled Questions, Comments from Visitors on Different Issues. Before we get to this, let me just remind you that we do have a public participation policy, policy 1230, which clearly states that the board will not permit in public session any discussion involving individual district personnel or students. Persons wishing to discuss matters involving individual district personnel or students should present their comments and or concerns to the superintendent during regular business hours. Okay, that being said, are there any questions from visitors on agenda items? Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Amy Martino, 57 Stewart. I have a question with regard to a couple of resolutions. The first one is number 14, the appropriation transfers. I see that we're transferring legal attorneys' year-to-date legal claims. Is this out of the norm for us, this particular additional expense?
Well, again, this is one of the codes that we budget for, that the time of the year that we budget, we can't determine with 100% accuracy what our actual cost will be once the school year begins. I would say that the year-to-date legal fees have been higher than what we had budgeted. Therefore, it requires a budget transfer, which is permissible by New York State law and school board policy. So in this particular case, I would say yes. What you see there is higher than anticipated.
And would this appropriation at this time be what you feel is need to cover that budget line for the remainder of the year or to date?
Through the end of the year.
Great. Number 10, casual appointments. One of the appointments is for an all-school production assistant to the director. What exactly does this position do? And what is the stipend?
I don't have stipend information
okay. Available,
but I definitely will get that all that information to you.
Okay. And then number 8 is per diem substitute teacher appointments. What are the hiring requirements when we hire per diem substitutes for our classrooms?
They are fully certified teachers through the New York State Education Department. They must be fingerprinted. We go through an extensive process, an interviewing process. We do reference checks, background checks on all of their prior employment. Again, extensive interviews, usually team interviews, and then interviews up at central office.
So is that to say that on number 8, all 5 people listed are certified teachers?
No.
Can you answer that?
Yeah, no.
So then we are not going
So there must be a variation in our hiring.
One is not. He was brought on to supplement the certified teacher that will be in that class. We have somebody coming in who's associated with the theater program to be a co-teacher with a certified per diem substitute teacher so that we can continue on with what we believe will be a higher quality in terms of keeping that course going in a way that it's been going to date. So for that theater class, there'll be two teachers in there during that time.
Will they be splitting the stipend?
No. One teacher is in. They're both per diem subs. One teacher, that is the scheduled class. As part of the schedule, he's taking over for the teacher going on leave. I spoke to the board about that situation and asked if they would be willing to let the director of our plays be a co-teacher. He hasn't yet finished his degree, but he's in there as a second teacher because he has a level of expertise that the per diem sub doesn't have. And he also has a level of familiarity with the students. So, the board, I think, was they understood that and were willing to allow two teachers to be in there. We could have just gone with the per diem sub, who actually does have a little bit of background in theater, but not to the extent that we thought to be able to maintain the quality of the class. So the board was very willing and understanding and allowed us to have two teachers in there for the duration of the year.
So we are paying two teachers.
Well, that teacher will be, that is a 0.2 for that class. 0.2
regardless of whether it's 0.2
of a per diem, 0.2 of a per diem sub day, which is $22.
And that would be what we would normally pay is 0.2, but in this case we'll be paying 0.4 because there's two people in there.
We'll add, yes.
Okay. So we're making an exception to our hiring practices then, correct? I mean, we obviously are. You don't even have to answer it. And then I noticed that there was a position posted for an extracurricular position that says the requirements are a New York State certification as physical education teacher, other certified teacher, or eligibility for temporary coaching license, along with child abuse, violence prevention, and DASA certifications are required. Does that mean that somebody who's being appointed to be in a classroom, whether it's for one period a day or nine periods a day, also has and meets all of those requirements, or do we make exceptions on a case-by-case basis?
What number are you on?
I'm reading a posting, a position posting.
What was the position for?
I think we might have to put you on to item 12. It's just violating...
I'm just saying that this is... We posted a position, and we stated that these are our requirements for an extracurricular activity. My comment and or question, is that we have a level of requirements for an extracurricular activity that we seem to be waiving for a curricular classroom. And I think that we're on a slippery slope.
Thank you.
Good evening, Robert Stroh, 86 Vanville Drive. I won't tell you my age. Okay, my question is item number 3. Why are we hiring a library or media specialist? Like it seems like mid-year, our term is starts mid-year and ends mid-year. Is that a standard practice? And why are we doing it?
Well, thank you for attending tonight. No, that is not standard practice. What happened a couple of months ago, the gal that we hired to fill the position this past summer was just recalled to her prior school district mid-year. So she decided to go back to that district back in December, and leaving us the opportunity to have to now rehire to fill the position.
Okay, I could understand hiring a partial year, but wouldn't it be prudent to end her term on it? Regular school year?
We're not allowed legally to hold them more than 30 days. So if this is a person who might have left the prior district, that candidate would have a job in her prior district
as a district, we are not obligated to hold that teacher for more than 30 days.
No, I'm saying if the one that we're hiring tonight, I could understand using her term, filling the balance of this school year, but why wouldn't we normally end her employment or her contract on a school year?
You're saying why is it February 9th?
Because it's prorated from her start date, that becomes her three-year tenure date. That's why. Four-year tenure date.
Okay. And my other question is, could you explain the item number 15, the change order for the Lewis Barbado landscaping, what the nature of that was? In 10 words or less.
Is that a setup? You're going to question me on a deduct change order? We're getting money back on that one. Yeah, it didn't. Yes. No, it was 15.
You should be happy with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a positive. That was an allowance money that was built into the contract, which was never realized. We've closed him out, and that money comes now back to the district. It comes back into the capital project money.
Thank you.
Sure.
It was 11 million.
Any other questions from visitors on agenda items 1 through 19? Hearing none, questions or discussion from the board on agenda items 1 through 19? Do I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 10 and items 12 through 19 on the business agenda?
I'd like to pull out item 13. Because I think we should recognize the police department. Okay. So it would be items 1 through 10, item 12, and items 4 through 19. 14 through 19.
Okay. Do I have a second? All those in favor of omnibusing items 1 through 10, item 12, items 14 through 19. By the motion to approve items 1 to 10, item 12, items 14 through 19. Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Alpecker, all those in favor? Motion carries. Okay. Item 11.
Okay, item 11 states, resolved that the Board of Education approves the following staff as volunteers for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with Board of Education policy number 4532, school volunteers. We have two school musical volunteers tonight to approve, Elizabeth Oldbacher to assist in the orchestra and Christopher Leach to assist in the orchestra as well. Again, they are volunteers not being paid for their volunteerism.
Do I have a motion to approve item 11? Mrs. Stellerba, Mr. Montalto, all those in favor? All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. There's one abstention. For the record, Mrs. Allbacher abstained from that motion. Item number 13. Donations, resolved that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the donations of portable scorer tables in the amount of $10,845 and a permanent scoreboard for the high school North Field in the amount of $5,100 from the Babylon Booster Club in appreciation for these generous gifts. Do I have a motion to approve? Ms. Tane, Ms. Altshuler, all those in favor? Motion carries. Okay, I would just like to say thank you to Ms. Lolito for all of her hard work in helping us get the contract approved. So congratulations on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And also thank you to our Booster Club. Wonderful Booster Club for that terrific donation. They're always there to help, so want to extend appreciation to that.
he's down here tonight to discuss the open discussion of what the board decides to do regarding the timing of the elementary / grade school fields. This is something that came up in the Buildings and Grounds Committee, the possibility of putting that piece of the project off a while, giving ourselves a year's time to really get the main turf fields in use and the schedules well oiled before we go into another field project. We also have a lot of work going on this summer with inside work. So this is an opportunity to have the board members weigh in on that discussion in public.
Any comments from the board?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary, but it's not something that's a big deal. We probably could do both. We've been talking about it for a long time, but you know, it's kind of 6 1/2 dozen. Yeah. The one question that I'm going to have is if you put that second field project off, we want to make sure those costs don't increase. Because there's a fair amount of work that has to be done with that. We need to make sure that you put a project and a plan together, and if we shift that, we want to make sure that we're not, you know, because the current project is on budget, it's in the right place. I hate to see us end up on the wrong side of for that field, which is used by the elementary, the grade school, and a lot of the infants. So.
Any other comments?
Okay.
I think it's prudent to wait for the year. I think letting our new field kind of cycle out and see what the usage is and how many groups we have to accommodate, I think it'll give us a little bit more planning time. Any
Ms. Strozzi, what's been the feedback from our principals and our athletic director on grading or not?
It has been the recommendation of our team to wait a year just so we can flush out any scheduling abnormalities we could face if we did that field at the same time, especially with all the outside groups that use those fields over there. They're thinking that extra year would definitely benefit us to hold it off a little bit. And you know, we take their opinion seriously. These are the people who really know the fields, they know the schedules, they can probably see in the distant future what could happen. So I think it's a wise decision. I would definitely recommend it with your blessing on it.
You know, I think Don was right. We just have to watch that the cost does not go up in waiting a year. So we should kind of look into that and kind of get some pricing and understand where that price is going to be. But I do think we should put it off for those reasons that, you know, we have a lot of students going on those fields, and all those teams are going to have to be coordinated onto that field, so we should get a better view of what's going to happen, you know, for the year.
Other comments?
I just have one question. So to reach out to the other groups, the outside groups, the clubs that use it to make sure that everyone's aware.
Yeah, and that's our plan immediately to do once we discuss this tonight.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm fine as long as we don't encounter, you know, unexpected costs or acceptable costs, so we can find out these some figures just to be sure. Okay.
So, that's fair. The format of resolutions?
This is something that has come up a few times from the community, people asking that when we hire personnel, excuse me, particularly teaching personnel, if we would consider writing within the resolution the actual contractual dollar amount that instructional staff is getting paid. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me. So this is something that I know the board wants to discuss in open session.
Feelings?
Just in terms of contracts, I mean, those are all public knowledge. I mean, instead of listing, I mean, my idea would be we just even list the contracts so that is of public knowledge on the website and the step scale. Instead of that, would just be my idea that they would all be readily available, not just for new employees or employees that are hired at different steps and increments. So maybe people can get a better understanding of what a step versus an increment is. versus a raise, but having those available to the public on the website, that might be an option in terms of making sure the information is out there for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's public information. Put it out there. Make it as easy for people to get as you can. There's no reason to not put it out there. It's there. It's kind of contractual. It's, you know, a lot of people hook around for it. Make it easy.
Yeah, I've seen it done that way at the districts with the salary next to it. I have no problem with that.
How do you feel about the substitute?
Their contracts are already available on various state websites.
Public document?
It's a public document.
Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry.
No, but the FSA, I think, you know, we should put it up to make it easier for people, and it's going to have to be subs, you know, pay and rest.
I'm okay with that. With adding
Mr. Stefanetta, would you like to?
Just briefly, and that is, if you're making an appointment to a particular individual, we have an open contract negotiations, that you list the step, educational lane, and you make some notation, if you're putting the actual dollar amount, that that compensation is subject to negotiations, because if the Board of Education settles a contract with retroactivity, you wouldn't want a member of the public coming in saying, I thought you hired them at this rate, why are they getting more for that particular year? So that's just a notation.
Okay. Thank
Thanks.
You. Okay, so I guess can I just go back to the field situation?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a couple of board members asking for some clarification on numbers. Can we make this decision at our next regular business meeting?
Try to send that.
Did this have to be voted on tonight? I thought it did.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not something that you have to vote on. I think it's just a decision regarding the phasing of the project.
Because they're going to put the permits
away
now.
Yes, Mr. Pennsylvania is correct.
Is
they're already applying for the application permits. No. Once you have them, you have them. I don't anticipate that, based on the type of work they're doing, that you're going to see any significant cost escalation.
Okay.
There might be. It's not tied into oil, the work. We're really, they're moving a lot of dirt around. They're bringing the level of the field up. You know, not it's labor intensive, but I don't think. But we'll check. And I don't know, you know, again, I don't know what would be a lot of money. I don't know what they'll tell us, but we'll pose that question to them. And we'll get back to you. But we're going to have to make a decision pretty soon, because this is supposed to happen, you know, in June. I mean, the day the school closes for the summer.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment, because also we're just starting to touch the inside, and at the last Buildings and Grounds, I know the architect spoke. I mean, we don't know what we're dealing with the once you strip down and get to the bare bones. So just to make sure that, I mean, again, I think we'll be fine money-wise to finish up those fields when it is time, but now that we're focusing on the interior, let's see what we have as we start ripping apart, you know, the structure. If there are, you know, we might need additional monies there first, and so we've been outside, we come inside, then we go back outside again.
Well, I mean, we've got a fair amount of contingency built in.
Right, but that was just common as far as I wasn't sure until we get to the bare bones.
So I'll
just
ask the board again, do you want to consensus now, or would you rather wait for the information?
I'm okay with consensus.
I can help.
Okay, so should we, I don't know what the word is, should we postpone a year to work on the 32 hour
I don't think the fall on paper.
Make sure that's.
The resolution, just give the direction.
Yeah, just
have
it.
So we just make sure it's noted.
We're good.
Right.
Thank you. Item number 11, representatives of organizations, please approach the podium and state your name.
No PTA. Yeah. Until I'm muted, I'll hold it.
Okay, hearing from no representatives, we're going to move to item 12, where we have questions, comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name. And let me please remind you of the board policy. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sean Flynn. I am confused and concerned on why we do not have a baseball
coach. I'm sorry,
coach.
I can't hear you. Is that on? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sean Flynn. I am confused and concerned on why we do not have a baseball coach as of right now.
Is that a question?
Yeah.
What was the question?
sign it. My name's Kenneth Gordon, and I was just wondering what were the grounds for a coach being removed prior to season and us being left without one when time is essential?
Coaches are yearly appointments in this district, so it is not accurate to say that somebody has been removed. Thank you.
Another question to follow up. May I ask who is being considered to become the new coach?
That is not appropriate public discussion. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Lloyd Bolito. I have prepared a few short words I'd like to say in regards to Anthony Sparaccio.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Bolito,
we do not discuss personnel in public.
I have read policy
really
1230, Ms. Donaldson. I intend to adhere.
The protocol for this is for you to put your comments either in a phone call to the superintendent's office during your business hours, or please write a lovely letter and she will receive it and pass it on to us.
I will. I believe I am in compliance with 1230. I will continue, if it is okay.
If I cannot allow you to speak about a specific personnel member in public.
Then in that case, I would ask a fellow board member to adopt the motion to reverse the decision of the chair. Because I believe there is a conflict of interest here.
You're entitled to that opinion, but I must ask you to refrain from discussing a specific personnel in public.
I'm not asking for comment. I'm not asking for discussion. I'm asking to speak.
You may not offer commentary on a specific individual in public.
Very well.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Diane Botto. I have a couple of questions. What exactly is the policy on fundraising?
Policy 1800, Mr. Stefanella, do you have that?
The policy in Babylon is policy number 1800, which may be available on the district's website.
Does that apply just to personnel, or does that apply to parents as well?
She'd like me to respond.
Yes, please.
Board policy 1800 in Babylon School District is modeled after a policy from the New York State School Boards Association, which is an association that's a statewide association. And the policy 1800, in part, addresses staff or administration fundraising and gifts, and it also addresses gifts from other members of the public. So the answer is it's both.
I'm asking these questions because I'm in charge of the fundraising for the Varsity Chili. And I'd like to know if I've done anything wrong that could possibly potentially get our coach into trouble. And this is very important to our program.
Well, I can't say I don't know what you've done, so should we elaborate on that?
Well, let's be clear here. We all know that most of the people in this room here are here because of one issue. And we're skirting around the issue of not being able to talk about the person, about the, you know, what is going on. So, but meanwhile, there has been a tremendous amount of fundraising in this school done not only by parents, but by personnel as well. And so that's why I would like a clear clarification of what is considered appropriate fundraising.
It's appropriate if it goes through the district office, immediate supervisor, and then passes it up to the district office. And
I can tell you for a fact that 99% of the fundraising has not been done that way.
Well, then it needs to be brought to personnel's attention so it can be addressed.
And therefore, why is one person being put on a chopping block when many should be? Anybody have an answer to that?
I can't address chopping block. I don't think that's a fair assessment.
Okay, my last question
like
is,
like I said, if you are aware of a procedural violation, please bring it to the attention of central office. It needs to be addressed.
Okay, that's fair, but I can tell you I can count numerous things, not only with the high school and sports, but with programs, with teachers, I can PTA, I can name numerous things throughout the years.
Let's bring those to our attention.
Okay. I just, at what point are we allowed to discuss this person that is being...
We're not.
...crucified for something?
It's prohibited in policy to discuss.
What if that person wants us to discuss it? What if that person has nothing to hide and would like us to discuss it?
I don't know the answer to that. Yes,
okay. I can comment on two things if you'd like. The fundraising policy 1800, as I said, it's essentially a model policy, a statewide policy. And amongst other things, it requires that soliciting donations for the school district have advance approval through the superintendent or the superintendent's designee. While a public school district is authorized to accept gifts or donations from the community or from individuals, it is not a proper school district purpose for school district staff to solicit donations on behalf of the school district from the community. Now, I'm speaking generally about what the policy says and also about what the New York State Comptroller has opined and found in connection with school district audits across the state. As most of you know, school districts are now routinely audited by the New York State Comptroller's Office, and in reports issued by the New York State Comptroller, that's been a finding in some of the school districts that the district's solicitation of funds as a school district is not a proper district function. A distinction exists between organizations or private individuals raising funds and thereafter donating them to the district through the school board, which is authorized to accept gifts or donation. So that's an important distinction. So if you reference a PTA organization or a booster club that's raising funds with district approval and donating it to the district. With regard to the discussion about particular individuals, I have advised the school board as their attorney that this is not an appropriate forum. The public forum is not an appropriate forum to discuss individuals' employment history or individuals' personnel records. Every employee of this school district and of other school districts enjoys a right to privacy with regard to their employment records. And in the absence of a waiver or release from a particular employee, the school district would be not at liberty to be discussing individual information with regard to that particular employee. That's not to say that a school board does not want to receive information about individuals, positive or negative. It's just that the public board meeting is not the appropriate forum to do it. There are other appropriate forums, such as either emails, letters to board members or administration, making appointments with a building principal, an assistant principal, or a member of central office, so that that information is shared. The school district is charged with the difficult task of balancing a community's right to know about employment decisions that they make with an individual's rights to privacy with regard to their employment records. And that's often a difficult task because the board members may be sitting up here tonight and be more than happy to answer your questions, but they're following their own board policy and also avoiding any exposure, potential exposure of the community in violating an individual employee's rights to privacy in connection with their employment. I think that answers most of the questions you've raised. If you have others in the board wants me to address them, I'd be happy to do that. The appointment of coaches, just to get back to where this started, as Ms. Donaldson said, it's an annual appointment. There's no tenure or guarantee of employment from year to year in connection with coaching positions. And that's not just a decision that the school district makes. The school board negotiated a contract with the teachers union. And in this district, in that teacher's contract, there is no guarantee that an individual who holds a particular coaching or any other extracurricular position will have that appointment the following year. And so the district, typically in terms of the procedure, they will post a position, there will be applicants for the position, there will be a screening of the applicants by administration, And then there'll be a recommendation made to the school board by central office, by the superintendent, as to who to appoint the position. So on a year-to-year basis, school boards don't talk about reappointment of individuals. They just talk about appointment of individuals. In this case, there were certain issues and certain community discussions that were brought to the attention of the administration. And this evening was the first opportunity the Board of Education had to meet and discuss those issues in an executive session behind closed doors so that they had an opportunity to discuss it for the first time tonight. There may be further discussion at the end of tonight's meeting. There may be this further discussion before the February 29th workshop meeting, at that meeting. But there's been no decisions made as to the appointment of any of the coaches for the spring season as of now.
So I think what the question is, and most people want to know in this room, is when will that decision be made?
As soon as possible. As soon as humanly possible.
I mean, as we know, the season's starting soon for
March
these kids.
March 7th.
And
it will be made well before then.
It will be made
well
before
then. We will make public the time and the place. Everybody will have much advance notice. If it's just like any other meeting, the agenda will be posted. No secrets here. As soon as we have the information or we're ready to move forward, you will be informed as the public.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I have the microphone on. Did you hear me?
I could hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anthony Bauer. Will public sentiment play part in this, in your role, in your decision? Because you see the outcry, I mean, the whole community is out here in support.
I can speak for myself, and I can say that every decision that I make is in the best interest of the entire school community. Public sentiment, of course, I think it's fair to say that it would be considered. I'm not going to speak for the other six people sitting up here, but every decision we make takes many factors into consideration.
Okay, and I also heard, I don't know your name, but I heard the attorney say that if a waiver was signed, then it could be discussed in public. Is that correct?
Well, you would like me to respond to
please,
that.
Mr. Stefano. Thank you.
If an appropriate waiver was signed, then the employee would be waiving his or her rights with regard to the discussion of their employment records. That does not mean that the school board will elect to have that discussion. That's still up to them whether they want to do that or not.
What kind of caught between a rock and a hard place then? I mean, really, I mean, we want to discuss it, we can't discuss it. It's private. I'm not even saying that the individual may or may not want to sign that waiver. But if they do, it's still up to you to, you can still hold back. Will you hold back or will you not hold back?
I just want to make this comment. You know, one of the reasons that we have such policy is to protect our employees.
I understand.
Because
totally.
Once the door is open for supportive comments, it's also open for comments that may not be so supportive. So that is the purpose behind the policy. Whether or not we will look at the waiver and say, okay, open it up, I can't answer that right now.
But that's the decision of that particular employee makes that own decision and lives with that decision. Okay? And that person either says no, okay, and then it's closed, you can't. If that person says yes, now it's thrown upon the board as to whether you're going to open it up and have the community hear it. And I'm just asking you, if the answer is yes, well, what are you going to do?
We have not had that discussion yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Baseball season? I mean, are we going to have a baseball season this year?
I certainly hope so. I expect that we will.
Okay. I heard Sean Flynn ask before about the coach and why we don't have a coach. I think the response was that we still do have a coach.
No, I think that it's been stated clearly that coaches are annual appointments. So no coaches have been appointed for the spring at this time.
So how are we holding practices so that we're prepared to start our schedule?
I'm not an expert on Section 11, but it's my understanding that there should be no official practices until the season opens, which is March 7th.
Conditioning? Our boys are going to be put behind the eight ball and, a lot of them are, it's their senior season here. They've worked hard and now they're going to, be jeopardized of winning or playing. I just don't think it's fair.
Okay.
Okay, and just one other thing. I know this D'Amico praised all of the dedicated teachers of Babylon Village, and rightfully so, he did so. I just want to praise Anthony Sparacio and his dedication to Babylon High School and the entire baseball team. Thank you.
My name is Jim Darling, and I'm going to make this much shorter than Anthony, although everything he says was quite important and well said. I think, Ms. Donaldson, what you said was perfect. You said you're here, the board is there, to protect your employees. Well, I think a lot of people in here, including the most important people, the players and students, are also here to protect your employee. So please remember that. Please remember that, every board member. After 20 years of service, I feel, and most of these kids, probably all of them, feel he's been treated unfairly. Please reconsider that. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
My name is Doug Gordon. The question I have is in relation to fundraising. Am I not correct that every dollar was returned to the donors?
That's what we've been told.
Every dollar has been returned. Every dollar was acknowledged on a public website. Every dollar that comes into this school from donations, can you tell me that that's accounted for when we have parents and students collecting at different events, such as outside of a basketball game, collecting lottery tickets through the crowd? This was done on a public website, but yet we are acknowledging and we are pretending that this man did something wrong because of policy. I looked through your board minutes. I looked for the last 2 years. I have not seen one single fundraiser approved.
The fundraisers don't have to be approved by the board. They have to be approved by central office and superintendent.
Mrs. Rossi, I ask you.
Yes.
Have you approved all the fundraisers going on in this building?
The ones that come to my attention, yes. I've approved a number of them.
How many other people are in danger of losing their job for running the fundraiser? Maybe we have to look at the bigger picture here and not try to make an example out of someone who tried to do something with no hidden agenda.
I will say that I take exception to your comment, someone standing to lose their job. We're not talking about a teacher losing his or her job.
This is about a man who's cared for these boys. This is about a man who's helped them with college recruiters. This is about a man who's gone above and beyond. We say that there's no appointed coaches, but yet coaches are running winter workouts and running summer workouts before they're approved. So how could we say there's no coaches when all of the coaches are running and preparing for a season? Was it not to be assumed that this man held that position, the position he's held for several years?
It's a dangerous assumption. There are no coaches until the board approves the appointments.
So what about, how is the school going to react when we have a new coach, a young coach, or someone else, that when these college coaches come around and ask to advise about these players, they don't have the respect that this man has garnered, they don't have the history that this man has garnered. He has produced, two kids have come through his program that have been major league draft picks, several college players. You need someone in this position who holds experience and depth. There is a potential loss of scholarship money for these boys because we may not have a credible person. How credible a person are we going to find for a job roughly 14 days prior to a season? I want you to take that into account because the parents here are paying taxes to be protected by their school board, but yet they're not being protected. Their kids are in jeopardy of losing scholarship money now because of this.
So by that logic, I would just counter that we would never be replacing or finding a new coach for any program or going in a different direction. That's all. We will definitely take your comments into consideration.
Good evening. My name is Sandra Shanks. Proud parent of the 2012 Long Island Championship baseball team under the chaperone of Coach Spaccio.
Please don't use names, Mr. Shanks. Thank you.
Okay. And I will not.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shanks.
I have only one problem, with all due respect to all you board members who put in time and effort and attend these meetings, and it is for our benefit as village residents. However, I must say, I honestly believe there's a personal vendetta going on from this board, certain members in very particular, that are trying to dislodge our baseball coach.
I would say that's a pretty inflammatory remark. But
well, I would also challenge you to tell me it's not true.
Not true on my end.
Well, I could prove that differently.
Yes,
I could. With various testimony of people that work in the school district.
Oh.
But irregardless, it's the kids that we're talking about here.
That's right, it is.
So,
as I said before, every decision that is made by myself, and again, I'm not going to speak for the six, but I think I could, has the kids' best interest as well as the district's best interest.
Not their own child, though. All the children, correct?
All children.
Correct, right.
All
that's the way it
children.
Should be.
All children.
Yes, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
9, 10, 11th, 12th grade, etc.
Well, K through 12th grade.
Whatever. All the children is what I'm saying here.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're
but
welcome.
I don't think you should. Oh, actually, I do have one other question. If the unmentioned person, if it was the Sanders Shanks charity or the Sanders Shanks fundraiser, would he be in violation of that?
I don't understand the question.
Well, apparently, the point of some of this conjecture here is illegal fundraising, or I say illegal, not legally, but illegal to the board and to the school district. If it was my charity, if it was my fundraiser, would it be okay?
If you wanted to solicit funds on your behalf, I mean, I can't stop you from doing that. I don't
it would
really
be fine if you got
that.
If you went through the protocols and received permission. Yes, to answer your
question. Here's a question.
Right,
relative to the football team, the Babylon Hits, was that a sanctioned? Did you?
I never heard of that.
You never heard of that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to Babylon.
Typically, it's approved by the superintendent. If there's an outside group that fundraises, that those monies would be then provided to the Board of Education for official acceptance and, receipt.
Well, in short, thank you very much. I do respect what you guys and men and women do, but I really don't want to see somebody singled out for one or two of the board members reasons. That's not what we want here in Babylon. But thank you.
My name is Patricia Barber, and thank you for returning.
I thank you
for letting me know you received my email. I sent one to every board member on this very touchy subject. I just wanted to speak to my experience. I'm assuming, Anne, can you please, am I not allowed to tell the room about my experience? I sent an email out. I apologize to, I didn't send one to
I
you.
I think the entire board did see your email.
Did they?
Yeah,
I only know that you have
on behalf of the board.
So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of the experience
that I was privileged to have when my son went to school here.
Yes.
And it meant the world to me.
It was beautifully written.
I just don't. When someone does something to make a difference in someone's life, no one asks them to. They just think it would be really great for that kid, and it turns out to be the best thing that happened to him here at the school. He was included in something, and part of something, and truly, he was not petitioned to do this. It was at the goodness of his heart. My son knew nothing about baseball. He didn't know the rules. He didn't know how to play. By the end, he was part of that team. The kids were
I witnessed that with my own eyes.
The kids were so wonderful to him. And the tone was set by the coach, who really took him under his wing and made him part of the school that he felt so excluded from. And I just hope that you will do take the time to read the email I sent you and understand that there are teachers here who do wonderful things for these kids. I mean, life-changing things. And I know that sounds maybe a little dramatic, but it's truly not dramatic. For my son, it was life-changing to him. And and I hope that when you make your decision, that you do understand that these teachers go through great lengths to do these things for these kids, and it changes their world. And I would really appreciate it if you would keep that in mind when you do think about your appointment.
I would just like to say, Ms. Watsvanga, you know me, a few board members might recognize me, a few kids in here definitely recognize me. I coached Little League for 4 years, not officially, Ms. Diaz, Panay. Ms. Panay recognizes me for 4 years. I was on the Little League fields every Saturday, every Wednesday, helping out, doing my best, help the community. Soccer, TJ Regalhop, sitting over there, knows me. All these boys, knows me. Raise your hands, come on guys, who knows me? Look at this. I would not be in the position I am to know these boys without an on-name man. Anthony Scarcio, I'll say. Yeah, I
understand. Thank
you, Joe. Not getting emotional. Great guy. You know, went through high school, terrible student, couldn't do a thing. Great man, took me under his wing. Listen, Joe, you know, I know you're a smart kid, you could do it. Worked hard, played center field, doesn't matter. I look back at it, it's not about the baseball, it's about the memories, it's about the camaraderie. That's all I gotta say.
Hi, my name's Pete Meehan. An outsider in the group here. I am the varsity boys basketball coach and the varsity baseball coach at Hampton Bays. I've been so for the last 25 years. I've also been the president of the Suffolk Baseball Coaches Association. I've known the Babylon, I have the utmost respect for the Babylon Athletic Program from top to bottom. I think their student athletes have always represented themselves and their school to a tremendous high degree. I think the world of their athletic director, he makes every opposing coach feel welcome when he comes to this community. And more than anything, I think a tremendous amount of the coaching staff at Babylon. All sports, always. I've known the baseball coach for as long as he's been doing it. I think the world of him. I think the entire baseball community feels the same way. I think it would be a tremendous injustice if he were not coaching baseball this year at Babylon. You guys are the only school in the whole county that doesn't have a baseball coach right now. And I'm not sure why. And, I think it goes a lot deeper than fundraising. I think it was important for me to be here tonight, and hopefully when baseball starts 2 weeks from today, he'll be the baseball coach at Babylon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Daniel Bargan, and I've been playing with these group of guys for my whole life, since Little League, and I can honestly say that our coach has been one of the greatest people to me and to us throughout these years that we've been playing. I've never known anyone who's worked as hard and, you know, has put the amount of effort that he has in. And, you know, it's not just a team, it's a family. You know, we're all brothers. He's been like a father to us. And, you know, just the amount that our coach cares about us and the team means a lot. So,
thank you. Right now, the next regularly scheduled board meeting is
for Monday, March 7th, but as has been stated, I anticipate a meeting before that, and it will be clearly and very publicly advertised so that you are all aware. So I have a motion to adjourn.
Good, how are you?
Good to see you.
In spite of all the negative conversations around everything else, I would want to say I am very impressed with the curriculum aspect of what's going on with the goodness. So I just want to compliment you guys on that.
And how are you doing? What are you up to these days?
I am going to my MBA in Stony Brook.
Beautiful.